Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. This is your host, Felicia DeRozier. I'm joined today by one of my co-hosts.
Cross.
Hey, Cross.
Hi.
Hi. You seem super excited to be here today.
I am.
Okay, good. We have a special guest today, Karina Church. She is one of my dear friends. I can't tell you how much I love this woman. I know you're going to love her as much as I do. She is incredible. She's amazing. She's an encourager and cheerleader in the Lord. Hi, Karina.
Good morning. Hello.
Now, I know everybody's expecting to hear from Mariah, and you will soon, I'm sure. She had a doctor's appointment, which took her away from us for a little bit this morning. But she,
yeah.
I know. It makes me sad, too. But she promised she would be back very, very soon. Until then, however, you know, I've got to cut to commercial break for that first 3 minutes, and we'll get into the Word. Today, we're going to be studying Romans chapter 7. Verse 24 through chapter 8, verse 4. So if you want to get your Bibles ready while we're doing commercial break, I would say you should do that, and here we go.
We all know that times are tough, and things are really expensive right now, so why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marty.com carries high-quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marty.com. Marty.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some...
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wireza. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
We've taught the world to sing in perfect harmony. Just drink Coke, the road to obesity.
At Coke, we say we're woke. We sell drinks fat as smoke. China is our labor supplier that drives our stock price even higher. What the world knows today, obesity won't go away.
Won't the cool
diabetes is here to stay. That's the real thing. What the world knows today.
Please check out the Proof Negative radio show Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. That is 6 to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, with excellent co-hosts, outstanding guests, and lots of great conversation. We can even take your calls. The number is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number 1, and you will be on the Proof Negative radio show.
All right. Well, welcome back to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. This is your host, Felicia DeRozier. I'm always here. I'm always here, right? Okay. My amazing co-host, Cross DeRozier, who's almost always here.
Almost.
You're usually here physically, at least.
Yeah, usually.
Sometimes not mentally if you're too tired that day. But. And then we've got our special guest today, Karina. I want to tell you a little bit about Karina, but I don't want to go into too much detail because the girlfriend's got a testimony she's going to share with us the second half hour. She was born in Casper, Wyoming, but she's been in Las Vegas for 50 years. Hey, you know what? I'm a native to Vegas. I was born and raised here, and I think it's after 7 years you're allowed to call yourself a local. At 50 years, I think you can call yourself a native there.
There you go.
She graduated high school in 1987 and is a Western Warrior. She's got a Bachelor of Business Administration degree, Bachelor of Science degree from UNLV. That's also my alma mater. She has so much work experience. I just want to focus a little bit on some of the ministry that she's done, because I'm telling you, this lady is a powerful encourager. She's volunteered as a youth counselor for over 25 years and a strong advocate for the youth. She served on the Women's Council at Cornerstone Christian Fellowship for 5 years and has volunteered as a Lifeway City Coordinator and a prayer team leader for the Women of Faith event. She's an Israelite Deliverance Temple Women's Department. She presented Karina with a Vessel of Honor Award for her Christian commitment in recognition for outstanding services performed and contributed rendered to the church and the community. She's been a motivational speaker for 25 years, is currently partnered with Crave in the Ignite Life Ministries. There's a lot more, but we're just going to stop there because I want you to talk about all the stuff that you're involved in and how we can catch up with you when we talk about you and your life in that second half hour. Is that okay, Karina?
That sounds wonderful.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. I think that probably your best qualification ever is what an amazing friend you are and what an amazing encourager you are. And I know your story is powerful and impactful, and so we can't wait to hear a little bit more about that. But we're going to wait just a little bit because first we're going to get into God's Word. So let's pray real quick, and then we'll hop into the Word. Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity to be together, Lord. I ask for your Holy Spirit to be present here and present with everyone who's listening to the show right now, Lord. I pray that my words be your words, Lord, that you move and work through me, saying what it is that you want people to know, and let them know you more and be deeply encouraged by today's show. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So keep that short and sweet. So today we are starting in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, and we're reading through chapter 8, verse 4. Now, just so you know, chapter 8 is my very favorite chapter, well, in Romans, but maybe in the whole Bible. Like, it's one of my very favorite chapters. And when I first came to faith, this section of the Bible really helped me to fully understand what the gospel meant and to onboard that, because I wasn't raised up in an environment where we talked about Christian theology at all, and I had never been to church until I was 19. So these are really, really important verses for us. Just as a reminder, we just wrapped up chapter 7 last week, and so just so we know where we're at, we're just getting through this whole dynamic of Paul talking about how we are slaves to sin, and that we are meant to bind ourselves to serve righteousness. And that's kind of where this conversation has come out of, okay? So picking up in verse 24, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." This is starting chapter 8 now. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen. Okay, so those are our verses this week, and We want to talk a little bit about how God gives us a new and unexpected kind of freedom that brings us new life and a new way to live, which is really, really exciting. But for us, I feel like it's a little unexpected, so we're going to kind of come there in a roundabout way. We want to find out what Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection actually does for us so that we can walk in this newfound freedom. And as I was contemplating and praying over this this week, God was really speaking to me. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what I would consider the great American lie. It's not specific to America, but to Western culture in general, and it has to do with our philosophical perspectives and how it sets itself up against Christian understanding. So to really understand this, we need to know that Paul, in this letter, remember he's addressing the Roman church, and we spoke at length, but if you weren't there with us in that first episode where we spoke at length about what the makeup of the Roman church looks like, the Roman church was really put together of two different populations of people. You had people who were Jewish in heritage and ethnicity and also in a religious background who understood that Jesus was their Messiah. And then you also had the Romans. And the Romans came from a totally different philosophy. They would have been called Gentiles or Greeks. Would be how they were referred to in the New Testament. So you have these two different people groups, and they really had two different background cultures. This part of the letter is really addressing that Hebrew culture within that group, because it's talking about the law and their perspective on the law. And so I think in the very first show, I think we addressed that American culture looks much, much more like that Greek Gentile culture that was in the church. Is that right, Cross? Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think so.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about that at length, because Paul would have been really familiar with this dynamic, but sometimes we're less familiar with it. So at the time, they called this either hedonism or Hellenistic philosophy. And it's very, very similar to the modern construct of secular humanism, because secular humanism is like a birth out of hedonism. It's like hedonism phase. The only real difference is that secular humanists drop that lineup of gods. Remember, the Greeks and the Romans have this like alphabet soup of gods out there that are all in this family. And the concept that hedonism had was there was this lineup of, you know, 40 gods, or I don't know how many there were, but there were a lot, like to the point, right? And that none of them were particularly concerned about humans or human existence. They did not care about you, right? And so the basis of the philosophy was there were all these gods, but they don't care about you, and they don't care about what happens in your life. They're very selfish and self-absorbed, only care about themselves. And so the pinnacle of human existence was to experience the greatest amount of pleasure you could as a human while you were on Earth, because after that you died because you were not immortal. That pretty much wraps up the whole philosophy, okay? Secular humanism is birthed out of that in that they've gotten rid of the Godhead, okay? But now the center of the universe becomes the human themselves, and they become central to their own existence on Earth. And because there is no deity to care about you in this philosophy, they basically say that the greatest pursuit for humankind and human happiness is to have as much pleasure in whatever form you can find it on Earth while you live. Okay? Does that sound like human culture out there or what?
Yes.
It does, right? Right, right. And so by thinking of it in terms of this is, you know, if we're fish in a fish bowl and we're Christian fish, but we're swimming in a sea of secular humanist culture, okay? And so now we can kind of understand a lot of things that we have trouble communicating with others around us, because it's just like the water in the fishbowl. You don't actually see the culture. Does that make sense? Like, it just is there. It permeates. And so sometimes we even see it creeping into our own Christian perspective because we want to be kind to the people around us. And we are using that Christian culture to tell us what kind is. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so philosophies that focus on the human experience as the pinnacle, that main, indulges deeply impossible in earthly and worldly pleasures. And this is why we see such a fierce connection with doing what makes us feel good. And I don't want to be right. You're feeling this, right? I don't want to be too specific about it, but there's a lot of things that a Christian will say, you're really not supposed to do that. That's not okay. It's not okay with God. And people take those things on as their lifestyle and identity, and it is really this difference between how we view the world. We don't view the world as a world where there is no deity who loves you. We view the world as a situation where there's a God in heaven who created you with loving kindness and compassion and who cares so much about you that he was willing to interrupt history and time and be like that famous playwright who went on stage in the middle of the play and revealed himself, you know, and that he's continuing to reach out to you today because he wants you to be in right relationship with him, which means living the way that he's asked you to live. So it's a very, very different perspective. And God's kingdom just runs so counter to those concepts. Doing the right thing does feel amazing, and there's not any way to over-exaggerate the joy and peace of having a restored relationship with God. And the Jews who Paul is addressing, they get this because they've been trying to please God for generations and failing. And all that they want, they're raised in this environment where all they really want is to see God pleased with them and to restore that relationship that was lost in the Garden of Eden. But again, the pool they're swimming in is this hedonistic pool. And for us, it's a secular humanist pool, but it's basically the same pool minus the gods on top, okay? They were looking for a way to stop falling into that snare of flesh and sin and self-serving that was set up for them. As Christians, I feel like this is why when people are converted from being non-Christian to being Christian, a lot of times they can feel like they're not fully changed because they're still immersed in this culture and they haven't recognized the difference. And that is that God's not just giving you a free pass to sin, but we're changing our whole lives. This is why it can also be so hard to explain the Christian mindset in our culture. We use the same words. We all speak English, but they carry very different meanings. Ones that I'm specifically thinking about in this lesson, which is why I brought it up, was, for example, a word like love. Well, what does the word love mean to someone with a secular humanist perspective? Well, if you love me, you will accept whatever thing I want to do that's going to make me feel good, and you'll accept that as part of me because my broad objective of being here, experience the depths of human pleasure to the greatest extent that I can. Therefore, if you don't accept something about me or you tell me that something I'm doing is wrong, that's unloving. Does that sound like what we run into in culture? Totally, all the time.
Yeah,
And we're like, what are you even talking about? Like, we don't even understand it, right? And the reason we don't understand it is because our definition of love has to do with eternity. We go, I love you, and because I love you, I need you to know that God is real, that Jesus exists, that he died on a cross for you, that he was resurrected for you, and he wants to bring you new life that's going to give you eternity with God and joy for the rest of your life. That's love. And I'm willing to tell you that some of the things that you're doing are going to go contrary to God's kingdom so that you can be in right relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
So a Christian way of loving literally runs contrast against the non-Christian's way of loving in this culture.
Right.
And even in the church, sometimes we tend to onboard this. Do you see what I mean? Like, we're like, how do we address sin? both kindly and gently, but also with truth and love. It's important that we do both. Freedom. This was one that came out. I was like, well, I can't not address this because it's central to the whole teaching. And this is even worse in America because we all think, you know, land of the free, home of the brave, right? Okay. Americans tend to think of freedom as the freedom to do whatever gives us pleasure, right? Okay. Even
right.
Think the freedom to happiness, right? That's not biblical freedom. As a matter of fact, if you think in the Bible, that God's chosen people were in captivity for most of it, right?
Right.
So what does freedom mean for biblical perspective? It means to be free from bondage to sin and to be free once again to choose to align ourselves with God. It's a whole different concept, but it's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's really to free us from the shackles that we put on ourselves. And the last one was identity, and then I'll slow down and I'll give Karina a chance to add anything because I've just been talking. I do that sometimes, girl.
It's all good. Identity. I'm agreeing 100%.
Good. So identity, there's this whole thing about identity, right? Okay, we know our identity is in Christ because when we come to Christ, we literally crucify ourselves on the cross. Like, I can't go back 2,000 years ago and nail myself on the cross in Jesus' place physically, but spiritually that's what I'm doing. And I cease to exist, and I kill my flesh, and I'm resurrected in Christ because I don't want God to see me as anything but Christ, because anything other than Christ, and I'm outside of the kingdom of heaven. Like, I can't work my way in. The only one who could was Jesus, okay? So my identity literally ceases to exist, and I exist as Christ. That's his hands and feet here on earth. I continue his ministry. And in the world, our identity is what we create ourselves to be, which often means onboarding sin and habits as our identity. And by the way, we do this as Christians too. When someone says, hey, it's nice to meet you, what? Like, tell me about yourself. The first words out of our mouth should be, I mean, you can't say I'm Jesus because that's weird, but I'm a child of God, right? I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
That should be the first thing because that's really your definition at this point, right?
Right.
So what do? Well, I'm a basketball player. I'm a radio show host. Or, you know, I'm a transportation manager. We'll talk about our occupation. We'll talk about our hobbies. We talk about all the things that we build into ourselves. We may talk about our sexual identity, our marital status, whether or not we're a parent. Okay? And all of these things are not really our identity. Those are things that we do that are temporal here on earth. And so it's no wonder that we have so much trouble speaking to the world around us when we're using the same words, but they're defined completely differently because the context of how we understand them. Karina, did you have anything you wanted to add in there?
No, it's all so good. I just definitely, I love the point that sin is self-serving and freedom is submission to God. You know, freedom from the bondage of sin, you have to be submissive to God, and then he gives us everything that we need. He created us. It's through his righteousness. The new covenant with God was based on Jesus' righteousness, and that's who we are in him because he loves us so much. So I'm agreeing with you on all of these points.
Let's go back to that whole big lie. My son's over here trying to threaten to mess with my technical stuff over here. I'm like, I will push you off this bed so fast. There
oh,
you go.
Wow. Okay, Cross.
If you guys hear a thud, you'll know what happened.
No.
He wants to live. So the big lie that we're having to address is that I will have my best life by doing whatever pleases me and whatever I want. And we tend to think of Jesus as our get-out-of-hell-free card. And the reason why Christians, we'll say this all the time, like Jesus isn't a get out of hell free card, but because we don't address this issue, this cultural issue that we're in the middle of, it's falling on blank ear, on deaf ears. People are not understanding what we're saying. We're saying the words, they understand the words, but they're not receiving what we're actually giving. When Jesus restores our relationship with God, we have to confront our me monster. My husband used to play this song all the time about the me monster, and it was about someone who was very selfish and all they cared about was themselves. And that's the kind of person that's developed in this culture that we live in, is a me monster. And we know that that's our nature too, by the way, because toddlers, one of the very first words that they learn is mine. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Everything's
there.
Mine.
But yours is
It's mine is mine, what's yours is also mine.
Right. So what isn't yours and isn't
right.
mine, that's mine too. Right? It's all mine. And so we know that that's very innate from us from the beginning, but God calls us to submit our will to him instead of the pleasures of the flesh. And this can be so hard and so frustrating because we've spent all of our lives feeding our flesh as if it was a baby lion cub, tending it and caring for it, giving it its every whim, until now it's this ravenous, raging lion that lives in the same body that we do. And it's powerful mm-hmm. and difficult to starve that lion. But God has made things easier for us by doing four things through Jesus' sacrifice. You guys ready for this? This is that core teaching
yes.
right out of that scripture. I know I went a long
Amen.
Roundabout way. I hope everybody will be gracious to me as I put in a little bit of opinion to contextualize it, and I try not to do that often. So, number one, God delivers me from death. We all die eventually, but God set eternity in the hearts of mine. In fact, in Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to end. We all have this inward feeling that there's something more to life from the time that we are born. We just keep thinking there's something more. I'm looking at the youngest guy in the room right here. Now, there's only two of us. Okay, it's not very much competition, but he's 11, and he's nodding. Like, how often do you as a little 11-year-old think there's got to be something more to life than this, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's a whole thing. We all think that. I remember when I was first a brand-new Christian talking to a friend at Cashman's Photo on the Strip, and they were just going, man, I just feel like there's got to be something more to life than this. And he wasn't a Christian. And I was like, that's because there is, you
yeah.
know, and it gave me an opportunity to speak about Jesus because there is something
yes.
more to life than this. So
yes.
We've always done this there, but the problem is that we think to ourselves, you know, well, then there's death, and death seems so very final, but it's really the transition into the rest of eternity, okay? And all human
mm-hmm.
souls live eternally. The big concern is location, 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 right?
Right.
right? It's all about location. Do you want to be in God's presence? And if you don't know God and you don't worship God, the answer is probably not, right? Okay. But do you want to be in God's presence or do you want to be outside of God's presence? Because being outside of God's presence eternally is what we regard as hell and not a fun place to be. So I would encourage you to know and to learn to love the Lord, because being in his presence, that's where it's at, yo. That's the place.
Amen.
So first of all, he delivers us from death. Secondly, he does not condemn us. You know, I used to have, like, so much trepidation thinking about when I first became a Christian, judgment day still comes, right? Okay? And I'm
right.
Dude, I'm like thinking about like the court date, and I'm like, I did not want to review all those tapes of all the things that I did wrong. I don't want to be reminded of those things and go back to those dark places. You know what I'm saying? And I know in that day, Jesus comes and he's like, it's all paid for. It's all taken care of. I really hope that it just stops there. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I'm forever grateful for what God's done, but I don't want to see it again. You know what I mean? I don't want
to
look at it.
Amen. Nobody wants to go to court.
right.
None of us
want
to go to court.
we like, so all this stuff happened before I was Christian, right? Okay, but, like, look, let's be honest. We knew right and wrong, right? But before we even knew God, we violated our relationship with him.
How? You don't even have a relationship with him. How do you violate it?
You don't know how ornery I was, do you? Like, you know.
No, I wasn't born.
Thank goodness. Okay, so, like, you know, like, you know right and wrong. I don't always have to tell you, right? You have, like, this check in your heart. You're like, ooh, I shouldn't do that. Right? Okay, well, you have that before you're saved, too. Like, you know when you shouldn't be doing stuff. But you just don't know who you're violating, and since there's no one there to stop you, you do it anyway. You know what I mean? But
right.
Now we find
you
out.
You usually think that it's mom and dad when you're young. Yeah, you know, when you're young and you don't really, you're thinking about, oh, gosh, I know mom told me not to do this, but I really want this cookie out of this cookie jar or whatever it is.
Right. That all that stuff, we're like, I'm going to get in so much trouble, but you've got the wrong authority figure. Then you realize that the person you committed all this sin against was the holy creator of the universe, God himself, and you're like, oh, man.
Yes.
But praise God, he does not condemn us for that. We now enter into relationship with God through Jesus. And because of that, we're not condemned for our actions, but we are instead praised for his righteous behavior, which is just like, I mean, that's a whole, we could do a whole hour and a half just on that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, but being clothed in Christ, having our identity in Christ, this is why my identity has to cease to exist. I have to stop being me. I have to start being Christ, because without him, I'm going into the trial. You know what I mean? Without him, I'm being condemned. So, third, God sets me free from captivity to sin. Here's that word free. We always think of this freedom to do whatever we want to. And in some ways, that's true. God offers grace for our sins so that when we mess up as a believer, it's going to be covered by his grace. But that's not a free pass to continue in our sinful and selfish ways. We are free from something, and we're free from that bondage to sin that makes us continue to be pulled in that direction. It creates a place in our life where God can't exist in that area. So we're free from that bondage, and we're now free to love and serve God. We're free to do something, but we still have our free will. And, of course, we can choose to go back to sin if we want to. But praise God, we're walking the right way right now, right? And we're going to continue to pray that he keeps us there, right?
Right.
And then finally, number four, Jesus fulfilled the law on our behalf. Every previous covenant and every previous law that we couldn't help but break, Jesus fulfilled perfectly in the new covenant. And so now we're in right relationship with God, and all the promises of all the old covenants now apply to us because we're clothed in Jesus and applied to him. And Cross just gave me a look like, that's a whole sermon too, right?
That is.
That's a whole sermon too. So praise God, we're no longer condemned by our past, but God's grace covers us as we learn to walk in his ways. And I am free from the bondage that's created by my sin. And I enter into a new covenant with God based on Jesus' righteousness. And that is moving from frustration to favor right there. And that was it.
Amen. Amen. That's the most beautiful thing we could hear. This is the gospel message right here. This is the gospel of truth.
That's why this is what God confronted me with when I was a new Christian. When someone said, read the Bible, they're like, start in Romans chapter 8. Like, and this was where I started, and I was like, wow. Like, you know, it was the message I needed.
Good
to
place
onboard at
to
the
start.
Time. Yeah, that was. Praise God. So, can you believe I went overtime? That was more than 27 minutes.
Yeah. Shocker.
So, I know, right? But you can't hardly help it. We are talking about God's amazing grace. So
definitely.
Let's go ahead and cut to commercial, and then we will come back and talk to Karina about your amazing testimony, okay? All right, we'll see you in about 3 minutes.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny.
A little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce. Do you buy from Amazon? If you do, do you use Amazon Smile? Amazon Smile is a program Jeff Bezos set up to donate to 501c3 nonprofits. If you go to smile.amazon.com and designate Barefoot as Legal as your nonprofit, Jeff Bezos donates 0.5% of your purchase price to our charity. We need your support to fund our operations and promote the Barefoot lifestyle. It does not cost you anything. Please consider helping us out. Go to smile.amazon.com and add Barefoot is Legal as your favorite nonprofit and help us fight for freedom. Thank you.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now. So why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marty.com carries high-quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marty.com. Marty.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked, or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marty.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marty.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and to keep those landfills light and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marty.com.
3, 2. And welcome back to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. You are back with your host, Felicia DeRozier. And I'm joined by my co-host,
Cross.
And guess what? Mariah's back. Woo!
Yay, Mariah. I knew you guys missed me. She wasn't here for the first
I know. We did miss you. You'll have to go back and review it and tell me what you think.
Right.
Because we had some fun in the first half or first third of the show. But now we're going to talk to Karina Church, who is,
she's so cool.
She's so amazing, right? Okay, like literally when I go into church, Karina attends Cornerstone Church with me. Mm-hmm. And I swear when I go in, every time I'm looking for Karina. I want to make sure her smiling face is there. And I always want to see her after service because she's always such an encourager. She leaves you so uplifted. Like, and I'm pretty sure she brings the Holy Spirit in on her shoulders. You know what I'm saying? Like, everywhere she goes, she lights up a room. So now I've given you something to talk about, right? No.
Well, ditto. Karina, I feel the same about you.
Oh, God bless you. I learned from the best girl. So that was her, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. So we just wanted to have you come in and share a little bit of your testimony as God leads. But our theme, of course, was from frustrated, favored, and I know that that really exemplifies you and your life. Did you want to tell us a little bit about your journey with God and where he brought you from and how he's brought you into the things he's brought you to work-wise and ministry-wise and with your family? And then, of course, feel free if there's any ministry plugs that you want to give. I know our audience is going to want to hear more from you, so you can let us know where they can find you speaking and get engaged with some of the ministry that you're doing currently, okay?
Amen. Yes, I would love to speak on that. Well, first of all, I just want to say a quick testimony. I asked Jesus into my heart when I was 6 years old, and I was at Vacation Bible School, and that was when I first invited Jesus into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. I was singing that song, "He's My Beloved and I am, He is Mine, His Banner Over Me is Love," and I felt the Lord just loving on me, and then the pastor did a message, and I invited Jesus into my heart because I knew that he had something to offer me. I was raised in the church. I'm the baby of four. I have three older siblings. My parents got saved just shortly before I got saved, so we were all new to it. But I didn't actually start serving the Lord until I was 27. And it was when I truly started serving him was when I really could experience walking in the Holy Spirit and God's favor on my life. You know, being favored by God just means that, you know, we know that the Bible tells us in the book of James 1, verse 17, that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. And Felicia so eloquently and excellently spoke about the new covenant with God based on Jesus's righteousness, and that our past, present, and future sins are covered through the blood of Jesus. And when my mind could wrap around that there was a God that loved me like that, I found such life and such peace in him. You know, there's such a difference when we're serving ourselves through sin. Sin is self-serving. But when you come to the full knowledge of Jesus, there's freedom in our submission to God because he was the one that paid that covenant price for us. And so I'm just so excited about what Jesus did for me and how he makes the difference between life and death. He made me free from the law of sin. And, you know, it's just wonderful to know Jesus. It's wonderful. I have a family. I've been married to my husband for 36 years. I have a 28-year-old son, Mark, and a 23-year-old daughter, Desiree. And we all are saved. We've all asked Jesus into our heart to be our Lord and Savior. And there's nothing better than knowing Jesus and knowing our purpose of here is to serve him, and that we are his children, that he first chose us. So my testimony is that, you know, through, and as Christians, you know, I want to say this, we make mistakes, we do sin, but that's why Jesus, that's why he did what he did. He knew that we needed a savior. He knew that he ultimately would pay the price for all of this. And he gives us such hope and such deliverance and such freedom to know that we're going to live eternity with him. And so I just love him with all my heart, soul, and mind. And I'm definitely not perfect. I definitely make mistakes. But that's the beauty of it all. That's the beauty of it all, is to know that it's not about me. And it never will be. It's about our Savior and that he did it, that he was beaten and bruised, that he took the beating on his back for us already. And no, he didn't feel like doing that on the cross, but he did it for us because of his love for us. And there's just so much good message here in what we've spoken about today, Felicia.
Well,
it's just wonderful.
The real beauty of it all is that we get the privilege of living in victory, seeing what Jesus has done and knowing that the victory's already come, you know? I feel like when I read over Psalms and I read over things that David wrote, I see a person who is living in the new covenant before the new covenant was established. Like he knew, just like I believe that Abraham knew that even if he sacrificed Isaac, God would raise him from the dead and miraculously restore his promises. David lived in this like current place of the promises are real right now. I just haven't seen how it worked yet, you know, and we get the privilege of living, having seen what Jesus did, having the writer of the play step out on stage, interrupt the world and say, whoa, I'm here. Let me tell you how I'm doing this and fix the victory in our mind so that when we fail, we go, I know I failed, but there's victory in Jesus. You know, where these forefathers of the faith were saying, well, I know there's victory, but I don't know where it's coming from, but God, I know you've got it. You know what I mean? So praise God that we know where that came from. Now, can I ask you, this is going to be a little bit off topic, but did you have more you wanted to just go on, or can I ask you a question that came up this morning in my household that I just know that you have the answer for, that this was a divine appointment?
Go ahead. Let's shoot. Let's see if we do. We'll see what the Holy Spirit has. We'll ask him for his wisdom.
I'm telling you, this is your area of spiritual gifting, so I just know. We were talking this morning in our household, because this is just how we talk, we're a little weird like that, about the concept of being an encourager in the spirit, because we were saying that we talk culturally about being encouraging, and then we also talk, we biblically, where they're specific, it's not just being encouraging, but being encouraging in the spirit. And I was like, you know, it's really funny, because our guest today, that's like, who she is. Like if Karina were to introduce herself, she'd be like, hi, my name's Karina. I'm a child of God. He's made me an encourager in the spirit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would say that's probably one of your strongest, right? You know what I'm talking about, right, girlfriend?
You know, yes. Well, it's, you know, it's the gift of exhortation and being able to lift people up in the spirit of God. And really what it is seeing this world through his eyes and not our own. We have to, we eliminate that carnal mindset that you talked about. That carnal mindset is a fleshly mindset. It's self-seeking and, you know, and it never satisfies. It just leaves you wanting, and it's not what God has called us to do. It's really against God, the carnality. It's a hostility towards God. And so when we think of a fleshly mindset, it's really our own mind. What we do is we put our own thoughts in there, and really we're going to fail almost every time. And so I have learned that, you know what? I don't know anything. To be honest with you, I in my own mindset, why the Bible tells us to lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And so when we acknowledge him and we acknowledge the power of the Holy Spirit, that makes all the difference in the world, because then no longer are we thinking carnally. We're not thinking of this world like, so Mariah, if you were to ask me a question, well how do I just, I better not just think about just today. I should think about what God has. We should always think about what he has for us, which he has the very best, and he loves us so much. So when I speak to someone and when I encourage someone, I try not to think about what Karina thinks or feels. I try and just say, Lord, you know, I have the power through you. Give me wisdom to know what to say. Give me even supernatural wisdom. And he has done that. I have spoken words to someone before of words that I never spoke before. but I said them. And even sometimes words that I had not even heard before, but because in the moment I was so willing to let the Holy Spirit be activated in me, then I can just speak his truth through the power of his word, you know, always based on his word. But I think that's the bottom line, Felicia, is just being willing to, it's like plugging in our phones, right? Our phones, we carry it around. I asked Jesus in my heart when I was six, okay? I had all the tools, but I didn't always activate it. So we got to charge our phone. We got to plug it into the source. We have to plug it into the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was with me. The minute I spoke those words, the minute I asked him and invited him into my heart, he came in, right, and he was there, and he was always there. But sometimes we try and do it our own way, and we forget to plug in our phones. We forget to plug into the power source of who gave us life, who paid that covenant price. So I think that's the bottom line. There is such a huge difference between walking in the flesh and walking in the spirit. And I always look at it like a traffic light. Cross, you know how a traffic light is red, yellow, and green. Can you imagine if there was no traffic light, it was always green, and everybody was driving around doing what they want whenever they wanted? That would be really bad. I think of the Holy Spirit as the, what's that?
Probably like 1,000 or more accidents a day.
Oh, my gosh. It would be chaos. There would be no peace. There would be no joy. There would be nobody would even want to get out on the road and drive. Like, it would be like a death sentence, you know. And I think we can think of that as what sin is, really is. And so the red light really is the Holy Spirit. I like to look at it as the Holy Spirit. He tells us to stop, instead of stop, drop, and roll when there's a fire, stop, drop, and pray, right, in the spiritual realm. And if we just stop ourselves for a minute and stop trying to put our opinions or our ideas or our, you know, I mean, yes, God gives us insights, but let's make sure that he's giving us the insight. Let's make sure that the Holy Spirit is telling us, because sometimes he'll tell us to slow down, which is the yellow light. Come on, just slow down. Think about what you're doing. And then other times he'll tell us to stop. And then other times he'll tell us to go. Like he did you today, Felicia. Go. I give you the green light. Speak my truth. Give examples that, you know, the viewers and the listeners can understand. We have to spread the love of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus. And what a message. He's delivered us from death. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. We have freedom from captivity. Freedom from the sin, the captivity of sin, and we're free to serve our God. And then to know that Jesus fulfilled it, that he did it. We already know that everything has been paid. So we don't have to carry that burden on ourselves, which is why the Bible says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And we need to, you know, stop ourselves from our own flesh. We need to pick up the cross, and it's not always feel good, does it? Sometimes it's hard.
No.
Sometimes it's a struggle. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times it is. But
I think I heard somewhere C.S. Lewis said something about that if he could imagine a religion, it would not be Christianity, because Christianity is entirely too difficult.
Just, you know, it's crazy, because, you know, people talk about, you know, filling and being happy and do what. No. Jesus, we're supposed to pick up our cross. It's easier to eat cake every day, chocolate cake, right? Like, or whatever it is that you like. Well, what happens if you eat that cake every day? Just because you want it or just because you desire it doesn't mean it's good. So
right. We
got to put to death our flesh sometimes. Sometimes we have to turn that sword on ourselves. You have to pick up that cross and say, no, it's not about what we want or what we desire. And sometimes it would be easier if we didn't let all of our feelings get in the way. Because if we're supposed to crucify our flesh, then we shouldn't have feelings. If we're supposed to put to death that, then really we shouldn't get offended by what anyone says or does, because we're supposed to put our feelings to death.
Right, because that dead man can't be offended, right?
Exactly.
Is that how that is?
Right.
If I'm dead on the cross 2,000 years ago, I can't be offended now.
I guess so.
I mean, I'm not supposed
it's
to
kind
there,
of a
right?
crazy,
right.
It's a wild thing to say. I know, it is a wild thing to say, and it's definitely easier said than done. But in the ultimate scheme of life, we already know the end of the story. And so why do we get so bent out of shape on all these things when we know that God is the sovereign God who is in control? Yes, we are to stand up for our faith. Yes, we are to speak the truth. Yes, we are to be courageous and all these things. But we shouldn't let ourselves get so scattered by things that God already spoke of in the Word. We should already have that written on the tablets of our heart. And that's why he says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. We make it hard on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
he's with us. He'll give us the strength to get through.
Exactly. Now, I have a question for you that I'm going to ask you because I'm your friend, okay? And because this is
yes.
a memory that was powerful for me. And I don't even know if you remember it, okay? But
okay.
I was probably, I don't know, 25, 26 years old, and we were having a conversation. And for the listeners' benefit, they may not know that I became a Christian at 16. I started attending church at 19. And that there was this whole tumultuous first 10 years of my Christianity where I really, like, legit did not know what I was doing. And I really consistently made very large mistakes, big errors, big, big errors, okay?
Like what?
You know, like getting divorced and things like that. There were other things, but, you know, the big, big problems, okay? Massive,
mm-hmm.
massive issues with decision-making. And I remember being at your house one day, and you were talking about, you know, you had just said that you had come to faith at, did you say 6 years old?
Yes.
Eight. And then that you started serving the Lord
yes.
at 27, and
yes.
that there's this space in between, right? And I remember
yes.
you showing me a picture of you in college, and
yes.
I remember you talking about how you knew Jesus, but that you had slipped into the ways of the world,
yes.
and that God was still in the process of lifting you out and aligning you with his will, and
right.
like that spoke to me in that place because I was a new Christian, but so entrenched in the world when I first became a Christian, not that I necessarily had habits, but this mindset that we were talking about earlier, right? That was
mm-hmm.
my mindset.
Right.
And so to be out of that, it takes some time and God's grace covers it all. Praise God. But do you want to speak just a little bit about God's grace getting you from that place where you knew Jesus, but you were still pretty in the world.
Absolutely.
To where...
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. So that is a perfect example of what we're talking about today. And when I was in college, I fell into that world of view, that carnal mindset. You know, even though I knew that there was Jesus, I knew that he was real, I knew I couldn't flee from his spirit. Like, no matter where I went, he was with me. Even in my sin, he was with me. But I was choosing my flesh. So, Cross, this is where I was trying to enter a world of all green light. And really, what I mean by that is I wasn't following the ways of God. I kind of, some people will use the term backslid. And I think, you know, it's just basically separation from God. You tend to whatever
mm-hmm.
you feed, that will be the stronger dog. You know, if you picture two dogs there and one represents Jesus and a life of kingdom advancing and the other one represents the world and the ideologies of the world, it's like what dog are you feeding? Well, that dog that you feed
right.
more is going to get, and so you're going to go that direction. So when I was in college, all of a sudden I thought to myself, well, I need to be happy. I need to do my way. Maybe I've just been you know, just wrong all these years. You know, it's what the enemy uses, doubt, blame, shame, fear. Those are all weapons of the enemy. And even a Christian can go through these things. And yes, we do. And yes, we will. And we have a choice. But I started to choose my flesh. I started to choose, you know, of the lie. I started to follow the lie of the world in the world views. And I started listening to instructors and teachers and people that I was surrounding myself around. And I kind of slipped away from the church and wasn't around Christians. And all of a sudden I found myself in a very dark place where I was doing things that was disobedient to the Lord, disobedient to my family, disobedience to my husband, just all of these things. And what it did was it brought me in a place where I had no peace. It was kind of a whirlwind. But even during that time, I have to tell you that God, he kept pursuing me. And I kept feeling the presence of God. And that's why it's so important for us to walk in spirit, because we never know who we're affecting. I remember being at the gym, and I was in this very dark place, feeding myself, worrying about the way I looked, worrying about me, my life. I want to travel the world. I want to do this. I want to do that. Everything contrary to what God was telling me to do. But I had to struggle because I kept feeling God pursuing me. Well, this lady came through the gym. There was a glass there. She just pierced through, Felicia, and she smiled at me. She smiled at me, and I felt the presence of God through her smile. I'm telling you, I had people talking to me, but that was so powerful because that was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was with me. Yes, we make mistakes, but it wasn't until I surrendered, and I did have to surrender, and God brought me to surrender it. I had a choice, and I chose to go God's way. Now, I didn't feel like doing it. Okay, this is where the feeling comes in. It wasn't like a piece of cake, you know, like I wanted to go this way. I thought this was the easier way, the better way that I was doing. But out of the knowledge of what I had in the Word, in the knowledge of truth, in the knowledge of what God has showed me, out of obedience and being submission to Him, I decided to do the right thing. I decided to go back home, to be with my husband, to surrender my fleshly desires and trust God. So that's where I had to lead, not on my own understanding. Because my own understanding was telling me, no, you're going to be happier if you do this. But the Holy Spirit in me was telling me, no, I love you and I am yours and I will fail you not. I will not let your foot slip or stumble. I will be with you when you go through the valleys. So basically, it took myself off of myself and trusted in a God who paid the price. That's why
we have to. He knows where your steps are supposed to lead, and he leads you there. And it's always better, isn't it?
Yes, always so much better. So much better.
Well, can you believe that that was it? That's our 27-minute segment again.
Wonderful.
It's 10:30.
Right. No, it's 10. It's 10. But we're going to...
10:03.
But, yeah, 10:03. Yeah, so now it's time to cut to commercial break, and then we'll come back. And if you have anything else to add, we'll have time. We'll give out our number for our listeners, and we'll ask some questions just like a regular Bible study. But for now, let's hear from our sponsors.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now, so why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marti.com carries high-quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marti.com. Marti.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marti.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marty.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and to keep those landfills light and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marty.com.
Earthing, also known as grounding, is the act of touching our body's skin directly to the earth, just like our ancestors did as they slept, sat, and walked on the ground nearly every day of their lives. This simple connection allows Earth's natural negative electrons to enter the human body, pacifying dangerous free radicals, which, if left unchecked, can cause severe damage to cells that can lead to many chronic diseases. Ground Therapy's patented process and suite of products were designed for you to experience all the benefits of grounding in your busy and modern lifestyle. And you'll experience the benefits of grounding within the safety and comfort of your home or office throughout the entire day, just as if you were touching the earth itself.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to WeFunder.com/GroundswellCard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
All right, well, welcome back to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. Here's your host. My son is lip syncing with me because apparently I say it the same way every time. Felicia DeRozier, my co-host.
Cross. And Mariah.
And our special guest.
Karina Q.
That's Q. Karina! The kids get excited about this part because then we can all be our dorky selves. Like, we're done with the teaching and we can just,
yes,
like, kind of giggle around and talk, right?
And say that I'm mom's favorite.
Definitely.
And say that your mom's,
okay,
favorite. Is that it? They all would swear that they're my favorite because they all are. I love them all. So,
what?
Yeah. Even,
like us?
Even the sweet one that cannot be here. We'll keep praying for Caitlin. Maybe she'll get brave someday and come join us. But
maybe.
I was thinking about her today. Tell her I love her and I miss her on this call. I really do.
Oh, I will. She is so precious and has just really such a sweet, tender heart. But she is really very shy.
And one day we got to have Pongo as a special guest here.
Oh, you think that Pongo would be helpful?
Yeah.
She's pretty quiet. Our dog is pretty quiet, so he won't say anything.
Aww.
Unless he really has to.
Yeah,
so,
I haven't heard him bark.
Yeah, no, he does bark if there's someone on property. And otherwise, he is very, very quiet. If he ever makes even the slightest whimper, he's quite frustrated.
Yeah. if you just got home and you don't pet him, like, the second you walk in the door, he, like, sits, looks up at you.
Yeah. At some point, you'll hear a big, heavy sigh or a, and that's like the ultimate frustration from the dog.
It really sounds like a horse.
So let's get to some
some questions and answers for our Bible study. So we kind of designed the program so that you could use it as a standalone Bible study and a home Bible study. So we want to make sure that we ask the same sorts of questions that you would if you're in a regular Bible study. So our first one is, what do you think of when you think about being favored by God? And I wrote this question with a purpose, so let me just interject. I spent like probably 2 whole years praying about what it meant to be favored by God, because a lot of times our circumstances will show a great deal of wreckage. our circumstances don't always reflect God's favor. And so I kept praying about it. So, guys, what do you think of when you think about being favored by God?
I think it's like it's like that thing about not being people or sinners that occasionally come to God, but being priests that occasionally sin.
Okay, so you look at that as the position of being able to say I'm righteous in the Lord, but sometimes my flesh gets out of hand, as opposed to always feeling like you're having to grovel for forgiveness. Is that what you're saying? Okay, I think that's a very good observation. Raya's looking up something, so I think that she probably has a better answer than I had, which was, I just need to know, God, am I even favored by you?
I know, that's pretty good.
We're absolutely favored by God, absolutely favored by Him in the fact that He gave His life for us, and that we don't have condemnation, and that we are delivered from death. We're favored because He loves us so, and we are favored because He paid the ultimate price through the shedding of His blood for our past, present, and future sins.
Right,
I think, you know.
And to harken back to what Cross just said, we did nothing to earn the privilege of that position.
Mm-hmm.
That was all on Christ.
Exactly.
That's favor right there. Mm-hmm.
That's absolute favor. Yeah.
Keep going, girl.
You're
preaching.
You know.
I didn't mean it.
Romans
keep
8,
going there.
Romans 8:28. Also, I stand on Romans 8:28. All things work to good for those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. That's favor. You know, we spoke about, you know, James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above, who does not change. He's not like shifting shadows. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We're favored by His love. We're favored by His grace. We're favored by His power. We're favored by the Holy Spirit, who loves us and counsels us and teaches us and guides us. We're favored in every possible way, that when we wake up in the morning, that that God took the beating. I mean, we're favored because Jesus is with us, you know, Emmanuel with us. We're favored in
absolutely.
So many ways.
I forgot to give out our number. I better do that, huh? Sorry,
oh, yeah.
I forgot to give
let's give them a number.
Tell us a little bit about what you think about being favored for God. You can call us in at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Dial 1, and it'll put your little hand up in the waiting room, and I'll know that you want to talk to us and not just that you want to listen to us. Also, the chat room is open. If you're joining us online, you can feel free to ask your questions or give your insight there, and I'll be happy to read it online live. If you don't want to say it yourself. And now Mariah's looking at me. I think she's got something to add, don't you?
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes when we think about being favored, we think it's more money, bigger houses,
mm-hmm.
or just the physical blessings of like being healed from sickness and such. But I don't think that that's necessarily correct. I mean, look at Paul. Paul is getting beaten up like every Tuesday, and that doesn't really spell favor.
They tried to stone him.
Right. It was just a normal Monday morning, Tuesday afternoon kind of deal.
Right.
But Paul's talking to the Galatians, and it's titled Paul's Concerns. And it says, so now that you know God, or should I say now that God knows you, Why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world? You are trying to earn favor with God by observing certain days or months or seasons or years. I fear for you. Perhaps all my hard work with you was for nothing. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead that you live as I do in freedom from these things, for I have become like you Gentiles, free from those laws. So we think favoritism, oh, if I work just a little bit harder, I'll get the house. If I work just a little bit harder, if I behave a certain way, if I do. And this is something I'm really having a hard time with this week myself, just if I just did better as mm-hmm. a Christian, if I just did things the right way, mm-hmm. I would be in God's favor. But the thing is I'm already in God's favor.
Amen.
I need to stop taking control. Gosh dang it, that's hard.
Yeah. Do you know what's really funny? I just want to point something out. She was absent for the first third of the show, and I did not give her the notes.
No, you didn't.
No. Girl, that was right on.
That is the Holy
right
Spirit speaking through you right now,
speaking.
Girl.
Oh, that's so
funny. Yeah.
Because she wasn't
yeah.
here. She wasn't listening on her way. And no, she did not get a copy of the notes. I send a copy of the notes to the guests, but sometimes Mariah gets it, and sometimes she's like, nah, it's okay. I'll just figure it out when I show up and let the Holy Spirit do his thing. So that was the case today, and apparently the Holy Spirit is present. Thank God.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Could be sensitivity to the Spirit right now. So let's mm-hmm. let's talk about this next question. Do you ever find yourself struggling with worldview? And I think that Mariah was just talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you,
yes.
my primary and dominant struggle with worldview always comes with trying to be actually loving in a way that Jesus calls me to, versus pacifying people culturally because I care about them. I am very much an includer. I want to see, and I'm getting all sorts of faces in this room, so I must not be the only person who has this problem. I'm very much an intruder, and I always want to see people come to know the Lord and to have a relationship with the Lord, but he really does have terms of engagement.
mm-hmm.
He
yes.
has some expectations, and we can't skip over those and pretend like they don't exist, because what happens is people think that they're coming into relationship with God, but because they're not submitted to him, they're not feeling the powerful impact that having a relationship with Jesus should create in their life, and then they think that what they have been is a victim of a farce, and they think
mm-hmm.
that we're lying, and we're not lying, but we didn't share the whole truth. You know what I'm saying? That God loves you and cares for you. And Jesus died for you and was resurrected for you so that you could live eternally in the way that he does, but that requires submission to God and requires you to die to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that
Amen.
Message is a hard message, and I always want to skip that bit because I just want people to say, oh, yes, I want to love Jesus, but then they go, I don't know, like this just wasn't powerful and impactful for me. Well, because they didn't submit to the Lord the way that they needed to. So,
yeah,
true to
freedom
there,
comes from submission. Yeah, true freedom comes from submission to God. Freedom, and the reason why it's free, because when we submit to God, what are we doing? We're trusting him. And why are we trusting him?
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that he knows best. You know, we know that he has our best interest at hand. When we submit to him, and we obey him, by that time we love him, because he says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And the reason why we love him is because we had trusted him and we had believed him. And there's freedom when we submit to him, because what's happening when you submit to God? When you're submitting to God, you're no longer carrying that on your carnal mind and your carnal self with your flesh. You're
right.
submitting to him. And so there's freedom that
right.
comes from that. But the worldview,
right.
like you said, teaches the opposite.
Yes. Well, and it's hard because humans were created in a state of freedom, but because we're so far away from that creation, it can be really hard for us to wrap our minds around. But Adam and Eve were,
mm-hmm.
were created free. They were created
right.
free, and they were able to do whatever they wanted.
Within, there was one thing they weren't supposed to do, and that was decide for themselves what was good and what was right and what was bad and what was wrong. But outside of that, they were created in freedom to enjoy God's presence and to enjoy his mm-hmm. fellowship and to do what they wanted to. And so they didn't enter bondage by submitting to God. That was
exactly.
the original state of freedom. They entered into bondage by entering into sin. That's what created
yes.
bondage. It was the thing before that, you know?
Right.
And so, I mean, they didn't know it because they didn't know about that good and evil. And once they knew and entered into sin and took that upon themselves to be the gods of their own lives, that's when the bondage was created. And if you think about it, it's the exact same thing that got Satan kicked out of heaven.
Right.
If he just wanted to... He wanted to control heaven, but he also wanted to control his own life and be the ruler of his own kingdom.
Right.
Like, it's all the same. All the same.
Mm.
You look like you have something to say.
Good. So good.
Just something you said earlier where it's like, I'm trying to remember how you said it, but working to please God versus people kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's
mm-hmm.
how you put it. I put words in your mouth. But, it got me thinking of blessed are the peacemakers
mm-hmm.
because we often think
yeah.
it's if I keep the peace, then I'm doing God's will. If I keep my mouth shut, then nobody's getting hurt and it can be something that the God handles when I'm seeing something go on with my friend or if I'm seeing something going on in somebody's life. If I just keep my mouth shut
mm-hmm.
and not make waves, then it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's fine. I'm not a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being a good friend because I'm not, you know, making them upset.
Not causing strife.
Yeah, not causing strife.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we also, forgive me if I'm wrong and correct me, but when God says, blessed are the peacemakers, are you making peace with people or are you making peace with the Spirit?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because then it says, blessed are the peacemakers for they are children of God.
Yeah.
So...
That's absolutely true because the original peacemaker was Jesus, whose ministry was reconciliation to God.
Mm-hmm.
And did he always seem nice and did he avoid conflict and did he worry about stirring up the waters? No. Like, sometimes the way to making peace is to allowing those waters to be stirred and allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to someone to help bring healing and reconciliation. But reconciliation, like, God didn't do anything wrong. Okay?
Right.
Like, if we're having a conflict with the Lord, it's not because he did something. It's because I did something, and that means that I have to yield and submit and change in order to be brought
mm-hmm.
back into restored relationship with God. But that doesn't mean that I'm doing the work, understand, okay? This is not because, it's all because Jesus has paved the way by doing the things that he did that brought restoration. But now I have to submit to his restoration to allow myself to be clothed in him.
Mm-hmm.
Less of me, more of him, until ultimately I'm ready to enter into heaven. Because from my understanding, free will doesn't disappear, and yet in heaven there's no more sin and no more sorrow. Well, what does that mean? That means that in heaven, well, first of all, I don't have the flesh working against me because I get a new body, right? But
mm-hmm.
I have my personal discipline to be able to follow the will of God on a level that I can't even imagine here on earth. Do you know what I'm saying? But because
mm-hmm.
free will is so important to God, he's not going to just take that away from people. And so that's why we have to be submitted and willing to submit to God and wanting to follow God into heaven, because he's not going to take our free will even in eternity. Do you know what I'm saying? And yet
right.
there's no sin in heaven. So that's like a
mm-hmm.
level of discipline that I, in my undisciplined self, can't even imagine. Cross had something to say there.
Like one time Jesus told his disciples, look at the birds. And he pointed to some birds feeding on seeds. He said, they do not worry about what they are going to eat tomorrow or the next week or next year. They just let go and let God.
But that wasn't a good paraphrase. That's not exactly, stuff, but that was exactly the meaning behind it, right? Mm-hmm. They trust God to provide for them in the same way that we need to trust God to provide for us, right? Very good insight, buddy. Thank you so much.
I love it. I love it, Cross. I just wanted to say that scripture verse that comes out of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And all these things that he gives us is, he's using that as an example. He feeds the air. He clothes the birds. He's there for us. And actually, it answers your question, Mariah, about peacemaker. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You will become a peacemaker. You will have to speak truth when God tells you to speak truth. When God tells you to, and he does tell us to often, but there are times when if we're listening to the Holy Spirit, there are times where he says, not yet, don't say, and there's going to be times where he says, yes, speak this. So being a peacemaker is just pointing people to the Spirit of God.
Right. I often
through the
tell
truth.
My kids that my job here on earth is to be an arrow. It's
yes.
just to be an arrow. I'm just supposed to point people back to Jesus and back to God over and over and over and over and over again. Whatever you give me,
yes.
my job is to point you back to God.
My mom used to say, Mariah and Cross, she used to always say this to me, these are not my rules. These are God's. This is God's plan, you know. And so basically I wasn't feeling like I was being disobedient to her. I was being disobedient to the Lord. She always pointed me back to the scripture verses, always. And so Mariah, when your friends or when your encounters, you know, coworkers, other people, these aren't yours. You're just pointing them back to what the Word of God says. And so mm-hmm. you'll know when the Lord tells you to speak or to stand your ground or to point something out. And then you'll also know when you don't need to, because God says to you, no, I've got this, you know, all is well, you know. So, but you seek ye first the kingdom of God and everything will be covered. So we don't have to worry about these things. Like Cross said, we don't have to worry.
Mm-hmm. And that something that reminded me of this morning, just what you're saying, Ms. Karina, and really everyone in the room, it's really cool, but I was looking in the mirror this morning, and I have my glasses off, and one eye I'm, like, really great at seeing, and one eye I'm really bad at seeing. And
do you blanket yourself all the time?
But it's to a point where I can, like, I can still read, you know, without my glasses, but it makes it harder. But if I'm looking at myself in the mirror, I don't see all my blemishes and, like, all of the red marks on my face and stuff. And I thought this morning, wow, if only everyone could look through my eyes, then I wouldn't have to wear makeup all the time, and I wouldn't have to feel so insecure
right.
about how I look. If only they were as blind as me, then everything would be great. And I remember thinking thinking if God was saying, I wish everyone could see through my eyes, because they wouldn't see because if somebody's telling me, oh, I have a problem, and Mom was talking to me about this morning, where if somebody's like, I have a problem, if we saw through God's eyes, we wouldn't see just the statement that they're making in the two sentences, but we'd see the root of the problem in being able to godly encourage and put that out.
Mm-hmm.
So with the red light and green light and yellow light, being like, if through God's eyes, being slow down, this is where we handle things with gentleness. Go faster, this is where we need to, like, slam this out.
Right.
Yeah.
And the Lord leads in all. And I want to say this, that I think you're right on with what the Lord was saying to you this morning, and that God doesn't just want everyone to see you through his eyes. He wants you to see you through his eyes. And that has nothing to do with picking up on any of, you know, whatever. You know, I know you're worried about, like, the blemishes and things like that, but any of the shortcomings, he sees you wrapped and clothed in Jesus Christ, and he sees you as a saint that he's proud of and his child, and he loves you just where you're at, and he wants to lift you into the amazing
glory that he has for you every day. So
yes, I believe that. And if we have time, I want to share something real quick with Mariah. I don't know how much time we have.
Yes.
I can share after the show, or I can share it now.
I was about to say, technically we're out of time, but we have the flexibility because we don't have another show behind us to go ahead and say it. And then you go ahead and say it, and then I'll read on air our other two questions that we had available, and we'll end there, okay?
Okay.
So go ahead.
All right, sounds good. Mariah, I want to tell you, you reminded me of something, and I think this is definitely from the Lord when you told your story about the mirror. So the Lord gave me his word when I was shared earlier before you got online that sometimes the Holy Spirit would give me a word that I've never spoken before. Well, I work at a correctional facility, and this young man ended up there. He ended up being a good friend of mine who moved to California. Long story short, he was in trouble. He was disappointed. His father was a pastor. His father had passed away. He was getting into all kinds of trouble. Everyone was giving him a hard time. He was giving everyone a hard time. He ended up being a friend of mine, so she said, can you go talk to him? So I was at work, and I went to go talk to him. Now, he had been doing all kinds of things to get in trouble, and this training officer had to go with me, and another correctional officer had to go with me. I was sitting across from this young man, and someone had said to him, your father would be so disappointed. Your father is so disappointed in you, because his dad was a pastor and had passed. And I, out of nowhere, the Holy Spirit gave me a word, and I said, no, I stopped him. I said, that is wrong. I said, no, Daniel, your father is not disappointed in with you, because your father is in heaveness and has the fullness of God. He sees like God sees you. God sees you as the righteous young man that is covered through his grace. God sees you in his wholeness. And you're talking about seeing yourself through God's eyes, if we could see through God's eyes. And I said, Daniel, in fact, your father loves you and he is proud of you. Now, I had never said that to anyone before. I said, but if he was here on earth, yes, in his flesh and in his nature, he wouldn't be able to see you like he sees you now. But he sees you as God sees you, because God sees you as how he created you. God doesn't look at us and see our flaws. He doesn't see our sin. As far as the east is from the west, he doesn't see it. He doesn't see those blemishes. He doesn't see them at all. You're absolutely right. If we could all see each other through God's eyes, what a difference. What a difference that would make.
Absolutely. Praise God. I love it. Thank you so much. And that's what we're going to end on. But before we go, I did write a couple other questions that if you're using this as a Bible study, you might want to talk about amongst your group.
I'm just going to get through these.
Right? The first one is there an area of your life where your flesh used to rule you, but now you rule your flesh? And we'll probably talk about this amongst ourselves later. And how has God freeing you from sin changed you the most? So you can talk about those within your Bible study. Karina, I don't think I can thank you enough for your encouragement and for your speaking forth God's word.
She's got talent for this sort of thing.
You know, God has gifted her. I'm so thankful that you came with us, but I'm also just so thankful that you're one of my dearest friends and really blessed by you. So thank you so much for joining us. Mariah,
thank you for rushing home.
Aw.
Thank you. It was an honor. It was an honor that you asked me, and I was honored to join you today and your beautiful children.
Oh, well, thank you so much. So we're signing off like 4 minutes late, but we're going to let everybody go. Have a blessed week, and thank you so much for joining us. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Love you.